This week in our Ideas Matter segment, we'll learn about Mass Humanities Traveling Humanities Seminar to Ghana. In 1957, Ghana became the first country in sub-Saharan Africa to achieve political independence. And according to World Bank figures, Ghana is experiencing one of the fastest rates of economic growth in the world. Well, these credentials inspire enthusiasm both in and about the country in the face of inefficient financial management by successive governments, high budget deficits, an electoral system in need of reform, high unemployment, and low education results per investment. The critics are questioning if free and fair elections alone defines Ghana as a democracy. The Mass Humanities Traveling Humanities Seminar looks at Ghana's emerging democracy. Here to tell us more are Plune Boresius, Director of Grants and Programs at Mass Humanities, and Rose Saki Milligan, a Program Officer and Coordinator of Literature and Medicine and Reading, Frederick Douglass Programs at Mass Humanities. Welcome to you both. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joe.
It's a delight.
Good morning, Joe.
Thank you very much for having for being here. It's a delight to have you both here. Plune, let us talk. And I guess my first question is, you know, when you look at this subject and how volatile it is, talk about how it fits into the humanities, because some people may be confused of how this fits into that idea of what we think of when we think of the humanities.
Well, Joe, Mass Humanities and organizations like us, we are dedicated to the idea of a thinking citizenry. And the humanities are central to having a thinking citizenry and a civic society. We think that the only way to have a good democracy and a functioning civilized society is to have a population of curious and open-minded people who know how to find information and think about things. So most of what we do tries to bring humanities programming to those who don't usually get in touch with humanities programming in the course of their regular day. But some of our programming also tries to help people who want to explore questions and issues about which we don't know very much or we have preconceived notions. So that, for instance, until now, most of our seminars have gone to Cuba for many years, a land about which we knew very little for a very long time and about which we had strong preconceived notions, so that a humanities seminar takes people to the place where they talk with people, with professors, they talk with people who are in the arts, in government, people on the street, and actually get to see for themselves what's going on in a sort of an educated fashion. So that's how, to my mind, it fits in with what we do, how it's a humanities thing.
Now, talk a little bit then about how you started to go on the road of a traveling humanities seminar.
Well, I mean, you know, most of our programs are free and for everyone, and this one clearly isn't. So it's a little bit of a fundraiser for us also, but also a way for people who need to that further questioning so that they can get it.
Now, give us an idea, Rose, of exactly how this works and what will be happening.
We want to take a real good look at the global significance of Ghana. It is it has been and it continues to be an important global player in the colonial era, as you probably remember. You know, rum made in New England was shipped to the coast of West Africa and then bartered there for Africans. And then the enslaved Africans traveled to the West Indies, and where African men were traded for molasses and sugar, which were then sent again to New England to distill more rum. So it has a very important global significance, not only for the Caribbean and Africa, but for New England itself. And so on our Traveling Humanities Seminar, we will be discussing and looking at four central themes. One is European colonization and slavery in West Africa, but particularly we're interested in what is the inside story, what has been the impact of African enslavement to the country. We know the stories of African enslavement in the Americas, but what kind of impact did it make, has it made historically and in contemporary times in the country? We'll be looking at Ghana's democratic development since 1957. We'll be looking at some of the challenges and threats and opportunities to that democratic process. We'll be looking at religious systems in Ghana, values, worldview, and cultural influences. There's a great sense of religious tolerance in Ghana. It is extremely high and has a long and impressive history. So we're interested in what are the ways in which the unique religious identities that operate in the country influence each other in particular ways. And then lastly, we'll be looking at, on our syllabus, art, music, literature, and culture. Ghana has a strong cultural heritage, and we will have an opportunity to witness some of that on the ground.
Talk a little bit, Rose, about putting the syllabus together, of how you do that and what ultimately you hope to gain from this particular syllabus.
Well, we put a syllabus together that reflects a variety of aspects of civil society, so that we will be working very directly with scholars, humanity scholars on the ground in the country. We will be talking to historians. We will be talking to educators. We will be talking to the very strong NGO sector that is very involved in the democratic processes that have begun since 1957 and are very attuned to holding government accountable. And we'll be talking to religious leaders, asking questions about the Africanization of religious places of worship. And we will be visiting some of the primary landmarks. As I mentioned earlier, Ghana is the epicenter of the distribution of Africans to the Americas. And so there are still about four significant landmarks in Ghana from where the Africans were shipped. So that's the way we put a syllabus together, one that encompasses all of civic life in Ghana, so that the travelers get a full spectrum of life and can explore Ghana from that full place.
You know, Pauline, you were talking a moment ago about how your programs are for everyone and you want everyone to be a part. And this one, obviously, given the fact that you're traveling, is not. So, but it brings to mind of who does attend. When you've done these in the past, these traveling humanities seminars, who comes?
I think probably Rose knows more about that exactly than I do. Mm-hmm. But there are, including scholars, educators, journalists, people who are simply curious. Rose, maybe you want to fill that in more.
Historians, professionals, people who are, as Plun said, intellectually curious, who have an interest in this particular case, in African heritage, in African culture, in African music, in African art, in the process of looking at emerging democracies. So it's a place for everyone: doctors, lawyers, students, educators, retirees. It's an open field.
You know, Joe, there's one thing about this trip that I think is so fantastic, and that is, and I think that's a real lesson for all of us, and it's something that we try to do throughout our programming, and that is, we tend to look at a place like Ghana from the outside, as we tend to look at it as a place that's acted upon by Westerners, by people from even north of the Sahara, by the people who have colonized it. And what we're trying to do here is get a point of view where we look at Ghana as a place that acts, that is. And In the same way, we ourselves within our society often tend to look at others as those who are acted upon, as opposed to actors in their own fate and participants in the creation of our society. And so, in that sense, it's of a piece, even though this one doesn't happen to be a free one.
When you, what kind of feedback do you get, Rose? What kind of feedback do you get from people who have done this very immersive experience?
I have seen and witnessed and heard from many individuals how these immersion experiences have been life-changing. They feel a sense of deep connection, particularly because our trips allow the travelers to interact very deeply on the ground. They're not just an opportunity to travel and just experience from afar, but people get travelers will get very close to Ghanaians. They will experience Ghanaian hospitality. People have come back, at least on the Cuba trips, and have formed long time friendships between the travelers and between the travelers and the people from the country. So it has been extremely positive. The responses have been extremely positive, and we look forward to continuing that.
Again, you can find out more information about all of this by going to your website, and we have all of the information about all of the humanities and specifically Mass Humanities Traveling Humanities Seminar to Ghana. Just go to our website. It's wamc.org/roundtable, and we have everything there, and you can find out more about this really important and wonderful program. Ploon and Rose, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you sharing your expertise, and I hope you both have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe.
A delight.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.